Young Entertainment Professionals.
You're listening to the Young Entertainment Professionals podcast, a series featuring the next generation of creative and business professionals in music, TV, and film. Hear their stories on navigating the industry with the help of the Young Entertainment Professionals Network.
Welcome, Stephen Day, to the Yep Podcast. I'm glad to have you here, or virtually here, obviously. So I want to hear first, though, about that live show.
Yes.
You're doing. You have a new EP coming out on November 20th, which we're all excited about as well. So is that in regards to that?
But yeah, the we've been releasing singles and, I guess, doubles. One single and one double.
Yeah.
And then we have just one more double that comes out on November 20th that completes the whole crew. And I'm really excited about it. It was like the first time that I produced my own thing totally myself. And like, I had worked with other great producers before, and it had been, you know, very clean and studio quality. And this was sort of the first time that I was like, I'm just going to do this because this is all I've got right now. You know, yeah. It's like, this is all I really can do. Cause it was earlier on in the pandemic when everybody was like really freaking out.
But literally all of us, I don't know about you, but I was like Lysoling everything.
Yeah.
Losing it.
Yeah. It was just like, nobody knew what it was. You know, and what it could turn into. And so, but yeah, the live shoot is coming up. I think I'd have to check with my manager, but I think we're going to air it either the day before we release the songs or the day of. I can't remember. I'd have to check on that.
Yeah, totally.
But basically I'm really excited about it because it's my good friend Drew Bommel, who's an amazing photographer, is going to shoot just like a live set where it's just going to be me like kind of going room to room, song to song, like through my house playing songs. And I just want it to feel like pretty personal and I guess just sort of a representation of the times. Yeah,
for sure. And so I want to hear more about making music from home. Your new EP is called Original Songs and Sound. And so I want to hear more about what has made this more original, being that you've been from home versus maybe in normal times creating in a studio or just, how has that been?
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, that title came to me in sort of an ironic way, which is really fun because it was like, I said it out loud and I was like, oh, that's funny. It's like, it's supposed to feel like a 60s advertisement, you know, it's like, oh, this is the best original thing you're going to hear right now, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's supposed to feel a little bit cheeky. And for me, it was perfect because it's like, this is, for me, this whole thing was just an experiment. It was just like something I told myself I was going to do because it was like, what else am I going to do? And so to me, the title is like this representation of just like it has to be original because it was the only thing that I had. And it was like the only thing that I could come up with at the time. And it was the best I could do sonically, production wise at the time. And to me, that's what makes it like ironic, but also beautiful at the same time. It's like, these were the songs that came out of me and this is what I was able to do and this is what came of it. So I don't know.
That's awesome. And talk about one of your favorite songs though, that exemplifies that. A song, maybe the first song that you wrote for this EP or one that really stands out to you that you're excited to perform, you know, on this.
Yeah. What's fun is like each one of them, I feel like hold a different, excitement for me. Like every way was sort of this like production production moment for me where I was like, oh, like I can do this and I can do this well enough for like to release it on Spotify and for people to respond in a way that is approving of that. And so that was cool. There's one that's coming out on November 20th in the double release that is called Start Again, which is more of like the song on the project. It's like it just sort of holds the hope, and it kind of holds the project together as like the reassuring piece that like we're all, you know, gonna get through this and gonna like come out on the other side kind of vibe. And so I love that. And I think it's like, for me, this project is probably a little startling to some of my fans because it's like a little different because it is an experiment. And like when you're a listener, you don't really think about that. You're just like, oh, like Steven put out new music. Like it's going to be just like the other stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's like I'm on this other side of a line without communication, just like trying something. And Start Again is hopefully going to be the song where like older fans are like, oh, this is like still Steven. This is the song that like I feel connected to him in that way.
For sure. And so can you talk more about like the connection with fans, you know, even prior to COVID and being involved with Yep? Like, what has that been like for you to develop fans over time living here in Nashville as a young artist?
Yeah. Well, one thing I had that was really helpful to me was I didn't study music at Belmont, but I was in the Belmont community. And so it made it easy to just like build community. And like, it started as like friends and then turned into a fan base outside of that. You know, it was just sort of like a natural progression. Mm-hmm. Like, from the start, it was like, I think I played at Cafe Coco freshman year and like had a room full of like 10 friends and they like brought signs, whatever. And it was like lame, but also like my first show in Nashville. So it was like this moment. And then it's like senior year at Belmont, I'm like selling out Mercy Lounge. And it's like, just like this natural progression of like, I just kept trying to make music. And then, like a fan base sort of came from that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I feel like Cafe Coco is definitely, for everyone that's moved here for Belmont, it's like the one place that is like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe. Like it makes me feel old when I think about Cafe Coco.
Yeah.
Like if you know exactly about Cafe Coco, like you're an OG Nashville.
Yeah.
Even it if was from here.
I mean, looking back at that time, it's just like, I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
For sure. Well, I want to hear about the songs that you released prior to this EP really quickly. When It Was Always You, is that like a preview of what people are going to hear on this EP? Or do you feel like that's something that's like still kind of true to what you've been doing as an artist?
Sorry, ask that one again.
Oh, no, you're fine. I want to talk about the songs that you released prior to this EP release. One of the songs being When It Was Always You.
Yeah.
Is that similar to what people are going to hear sound wise, sonically, with this new EP, or is that more catered to, you know, your previous music, do you think?
Yeah. Honestly, what's so funny about this EP is like each one of them sounds so different, which is really cool to me. And that one feels. That one was like kind of a attempt to like reference some, I don't know if you've ever heard of the band America,
yeah,
but they're like Ventura Highway,
yeah,
vibe. And it was me trying to like bring some of that like sound into like a pop mold again.
Yeah.
And like that song will definitely be on the EP. So it's there, but I would say most of the songs, each one of them is like very different from the next one.
Okay.
So it really is just sort of like a melting pot of singer-songwriter pop songs.
For sure. Who are some of your musical inspirations? I did read that John Mayer, Frank Ocean, talk more about that and how that influenced the CP.
Sure. Yeah, it's funny, like influences isn't really something I think about until the song has happened. Mm. And it's like, I'll write the song and then I'll be like, oh, this is like this thing coming through me in this moment. You know what I'm saying? So it's like when I finished it, when it was Always You, it was like, oh wow, this is like America. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's just funny because those things just kind of come out of me. And then it's interesting to like look back on them and be like, oh, this was Hall & Oates, or oh, this was D'Angelo, or because that was sort of the way I went about the production route. Was I usually write all the songs just like me and a guitar, or me and a piano, before I produce them. And so with like Every Way, I was just writing on a keyboard with a drum machine. And then once the song was finished, I was like, oh, this is sort of like John Mayer meets Hall & Oates. Just sort of like slow ride. Yacht rock. I don't know. It's funny.
I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I want to hear more about, you know, did you have any other people involved in this EP in terms of producing it? Maybe who did you consult to kind of get their opinion, to get their thoughts creatively?
Yeah, that was especially one of the things that also kind of runs into the title. It was like very close to home. It was like, you know, a lot of people think about songs as being like close to home because it's like words coming from you, like melodies coming from you. But to me, this like whole process is like a song, you know. It's like all of it was so close to home, like choices I made production wise, all of that. And so they're really, I mean, in the process of like creating, nobody else was involved.
Okay.
But my manager, Maddie, you might know Maddie.
Yeah. So I want to talk about in just a second, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She kind of worked as like an A&R to the project. Mm-hmm. Like what we're realizing with the way I work and my personality is like, if I don't have a deadline, I might never do anything.
LOL. Such a creative thing there.
Yeah. Totally. Totally. And so it's like when, it's not that I'm not inspired before that. It's just that like, I think having a deadline like brings the inspiration out of me and like makes me reflect on things that are going on in my life. And so with this project and honestly my last album, it's funny because the writing process looked like, okay, Steven, like if you don't give me a song today, it's $10. And it's like, it's funny because like $10 is like a meal. Like it's like me buying her lunch, whatever.
Right.
And so, but it's like just that small thing is like, oh, like keeps me accountable. And so we just ended up with this like pile of songs and picked, you know, five. And we're like, this is it. This is the project. And so she was sort of that person in that process. Mm-hmm. And then with the production too, she was like, sort of like a gut response to them. So I would like work in my room and then really just send her, you know, once it was getting close to where I thought it was finished, I would send it to her and she'd be like, this doesn't make sense, or this is awesome, or this is good, but I think it could be better. You know, it was just like those kind of answers. And it was, in some ways it was like, you know, a normal A&R where they're like, these are the songs on the album and you're going to produce them this way. I don't know. But to me, it was like, felt very much, my thing.
That's awesome. And she's such a straight shooter, I have to add, which I love about her.
Oh my God.
To the point, which is like so refreshing.
I think I've been working with her for 2.5-3 years now. And at first it was shocking because nobody talks like that. It was like, if you show them a song, most people are going to be like, I love it. It's great. Great.
It's awesome. I mean, maybe like, it's just like, there's no like clear, like definitive.
Right. And I'm the kind of person that's always like, okay, but what do you really mean? You know?
Right.
And Maddie at first to me was it, because songwriting is so personal, it's like you like have this feeling about a song and you like show it to someone. And with Maddie at first, it was like, ouch, just like dagger. If she didn't like it, you know? And I've learned to really respond. Also like stay true to what I think is good. And trust her opinion. So this whole project felt very collaborative in that way with her.
Talk about developing that manager artist relationship there, because I know Maddie from Belmont as well, and I just want to hear, you know, how that has worked for you both. What's so important to you about finding a manager that works, that is kind of like that better half for you?
Sure.
And maybe some advice you can offer to someone that feels like they need to be in that place of having someone who can guide them through their career.
Yeah. I think it really is for me. It took her to realize how much I wanted to work. Like she has this ability to bring out, she's so scrappy.
Yeah.
And so driven that, It's. I didn't realize how hard I wanted to work until she started giving me things to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, okay, this is so much. But at other times it's like, oh, this is good. Like we're moving. We're like moving on something. We're like going to get to the next thing because we're doing these things. And so she's just scrappy. She's, my girlfriend said it like this. It was like, you know, Maddie like goes by Mad Cat Management.
Yes.
she always says Mad Cat's a scrappy dog, which is funny because it's like so true. And it just like really pushes me to want to make a career, like a lifetime career out of this thing. I think what's fun about Maddie is it feels so personal and like friendship based. And like we both believe in each other. And it feels so much like a long-term game that it feels really comforting, because I think a lot of people run into or like dream of, like when I first went to school in Nashville, I had this idea of like, okay, this is going to be easy. Right. I'm going to walk into the city of Nashville, Music City. Somebody's going to be like, boom, grab me by the shirt, like sign you to a label. Then you're like on a world tour. You know, it's like you have all these like romanticized ideas of how it's supposed to go, because you're 18, you're a kid. And then it just like either goes that way for you or it doesn't. And it did not for me, you know?
I don't think it does for most people. And if it does, the years that they're actually working at it don't last as long. And I'm not saying that for everybody, but you know, I think really, you know, hard work does pay off. And if it is meant for you, it's meant to be a, you know, the longevity is more, I think.
Exactly. And I think meeting Maddie has just sort of, honestly, sort of picked at that romanticized idea that I had and made me really appreciate the slow burn, like the long game.
Which, by the way, speaking of slow burn, you did a cover of Kacey Musgraves. I went and did my research and I was like, okay, I like this. What made you choose that song to cover? Do you cover songs often?
I don't. I used to not really love covering songs. I think I'm actually at a place where I really enjoy it now. So I might start doing that more. But honestly, the slow burn cover was just because the election. And
LOL.
it was supposed to be like a kind of a sly move. But it was like the votes were like slowly coming in for Joe Biden. Yeah. And honestly, it was like, for me, like a peaceful, like the feeling of that song has so much like patience in it. Yeah. And just like soft, like hope in it. Mm-hmm. And like the sound of it. And so for me, it was like this, I kept itching to like check the news and like, I just kept wanting to know, but then it was just like that song just kind of like slowed me down and
yeah,
I don't know. So that's definitely like a personal opinion, but,
but I mean, hey, no, I think we're all like, I think I've been having a lot of conversations with, you know, people my age, people not my age, but generally speaking, like our generation, we're going to look back on this and be like, we like just the, it's been like this all year where we've been checking Twitter, checking the news, checking updates on everything. And it's been just a conglomeration of uncertainty the entire year, which has kind of felt like a slow burn to something, but we're all still kind of like, what is what? What are we?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It felt so right to like sing and play that song. And it felt very therapeutic to sing it.
How do you think our, you know, young entertainment community is going to shift, maybe for just from your perspective as an artist, after this all kind of dies out, hopefully it'll die out at some point because we need it.
Yeah.
But, you know, how do you think we're going to adjust and adapt?
Oh, man, I have been thinking about that forever since I got to college. It's like, I think we were heading in such a good direction of, Nashville becoming a very diverse music city, with all different kinds of genres, all different kinds of people. Mm-hmm. And I just really think whatever the marker is on this time period, once this ends, I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to be sort of like a little mini renaissance in Nashville of like different kinds of music. I think people in New York and LA are going to want to move here because we're going to be doing things that are just cooler than them.
Cooler than them, different. And you, I was going to ask too, you've incorporated pop into what you do. And I think that some of it is a little bit country influenced, but talk about that, of meshing genres and not honestly sometimes thinking about what genre you are and just going for creating the song that you're passionate about.
Yeah, it's constantly a pro and a con for me. Mm-hmm. Because I think, one, it's really difficult. Like my dad is always like, what do I tell people when they ask what kind of music you make? And I usually just say like singer, songwriter, soul music, because it's like, that's just easy. But like, it really does seem that it's something that the more I create, the harder it is for me to, or maybe not the harder it is, but the more I've created, the more I realize that I do write songs that kind of come from a lot of different genres. Yeah. And to me, it just makes sense. Like, I think genre is good, but at this point in music, it's kind of like so many different kinds of people listen to so many different kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think it's as stark of a contrast as it used to be. Like when somebody hears something playing, they're not like, oh, that's rock and roll or that's rap. It's like the more I hear music, the more I hear songs that I'm like, oh my God, like that's a rap song, but it sounds like that person also listens to like Radiohead or, you know.
I feel like Spotify has been a huge part of that. I know for me, it's like I'm just listening to stuff that's similar to what I'm currently listening to.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think listeners are more and more like, when they hear something, they're like verbatim, they're like, oh, that's a vibe, rather than like, oh, that's rock and roll. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
People are a lot more attuned to how it makes them feel rather than like what it's categorized as.
I 100% agree with that. And I think that's going to be continue to be the trend. What do you think is going to open the more doors for that diversity in genre and allowing people to kind of not feel like they're in this bubble of I have to be this type of artist or this type of songwriter? I can just kind of create and see what happens, right, which gives us a little bit more of right. freedom. Talk about, you know, visiting your family during this time. I know that's a little bit of a like sure. trail off from music here, but like, what has that done for you creatively? And just from a mental standpoint of being around them and getting more time with your family during this year.
Yeah. It's been great because when I do go home, people, I guess my family, like some of them are still working normal because their jobs are essential jobs, but others, it's feels a lot more communal because when I do go home, it's like people have time to hang out. Whereas before this, it was like I went home and,
yeah,
you know, this person's away at work and this person's doing this. You know, everybody's just busy, but it's kind of hard to be busy during this time.
Yeah, it's just like we're all occupying. Like I know for me, I'm occupying myself with, I mean, doing my own show, obviously, but then I work from home remotely and that's still, you're not really getting away from things. So I think for us, it's a little bit harder, but yeah, no, I mean, it definitely is. It's interesting for different people how their year has gone based off of their job or their career, like what they want to do. And
so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's been wonderful to spend time with them and go home more than often and just like check in on everybody and say, hey, and hang out for a weekend when I can.
For sure. I want to hear about the Yep community and its influence on you.
When they were doing their shows, like were they do they do them like once a month or I forget.
Once a quarter. Yes.
Once a quarter.
And I'm so excited to get back to Yep Rewind when this is it's going to be so great.
It was always such a like a warm thing. Like I never knew how, you really, as an artist, you really do meet so many different artists from those experiences. And it's at first, I think the first time I did it, I was like, oh, this will be fun. I'm like going to go up and sing one song and then hang out. And that's great. But I don't think I realized how much Yep is trying to build a community of artists that are all different, and they do a really good job of like giving you the list of songs to choose from because I think everybody, like I remember whichever one it was, it might've been 70s or whatever. But, when I went and saw the list of songs and the song I'm a Believer by the Monkees was on there, I was like, hell yeah. Like I'm going to sing that. It was just like everybody. And then when I got there that night, listening to the different kinds of artists sing the songs they sang, mm-hmm. it was like, oh, everybody felt like they had a pocket to like pull from.
Yeah. Something personal to share
yeah.
with yeah. the community, which is really
and cool. And like the typical rock guy would sing the typical rock song and you're like, oh, this like makes sense. This, like everybody.
We get this, why this person is the way they
yeah.
are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was an easy way to see other artists' influences and see what they pull from, see why they act the way they do, why they write the way they do, and then meet them outside of that and get to know them, which is very cool.
For sure. Well, and people I feel like are really going to get to know you through your next EP here on November 20th. Where can people keep up with you? And if they want to be a part of the live virtual show, where can they go?
Yeah. Gosh, I wish I had the details for the show that you need. okay. But I can get it from Maddie and get it to you. But you can follow me at Hey Stephen Day everywhere on socials. And the show, I think, is going to be the 19th or the 20th or a day after the 20th. I don't know.
Honestly, that's the best answer for 2020. Like, yeah, we don't know. We don't know. It's going to just happen when it's going to happen. It's going to be great when it does. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be like a ticketed sort of exclusive thing, which I think will be really cool because, I don't know. I think it's going to be shot in a way that I haven't really seen another, like live shoot performed and shot. So I'm really excited about the way I think it's going to end up.
That's awesome. And congratulations on the upcoming release, everybody. Original Songs and Sound, slated for November 20th. Steve and Day, thanks for being on the Yet podcast.
Libby O, it's been a pleasure.
Of course.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Young Entertainment Professionals Podcast. To get connected, visit yepnashville.com and follow Yep Nashville and Yep Los Angeles on social media. I'm your host, Libby Ulrich, and until next time, discover, cultivate, accelerate.